Blog Talk Radio.
How are you doing today? Hope today finds you doing well. If you would like to be a guest to call in. Got a little feedback there. If you would like to be a guest to call in to the program, the call-in number is 646-478-5284. That is 646-478-5284. And you can call in and talk about anything related to the subject matter. I will give you a word of warning, though. Be aware of the aforementioned curse of the fruit bat. That is for those of you all who want to indulge in ad hominem attacks, character assassinations, gaslighting, the excessive profanity, things of that sort. I will push the kick button and you will go bye-bye. Also, you little trollers out there, too, that like to come in and like to, you know, disrupt people's programs, you too. But anyway, I don't care if you agree with me or disagree with me. You know, just be respectable in your interactions on this program. And I want to add here, for those of you all out there who do indulge in those type of activities, I might cut you off from the show, but I won't ban you from the show, okay? Just realize that when you come on here and you start your stuff, I will cut you off, but I'm starting a new policy that I will not ban you from the show. So if there are any Warrens out there, you know who you are, you won't be banned from my program, but at the time that you indulge in these type of activities, I will cut you off, okay? And also something else I wanted to announce. Every first Saturday, beginning next Saturday, I will not be having a program because I want to give some time to spend time with my wife. I want to give up that free time, because during the weekdays, we, of course, we got our jobs and everything, and sometimes we want to spend time together. And I'm going to devote the first Saturday of every month for that, So I won't be having a program on the first Saturday of every month, okay? And just to give you a little heads up, too, on the 20th of May of this year. And this is, you know, a little less than 2 months away. I won't be having a program on that day, on May the 20th. My wife and I will be going out of town that day. And so the 20th of May, I won't have a program. The 28th, I will, God willing. And then, you know, around that time, is it June? I forget which date in June. That first Saturday in June, of course, I won't be having a program. So I just wanted to get that out to you guys so you can plan accordingly. But every first Saturday of the month, of every month, the first Saturday of every month, I won't be having a program because I want to give that time off to spending time with my wife and everything like that. You know, so, but anyway, what shall I dive into right now? Right before I came on this show, I was watching a video about a dude named Jazz Jennings. And this person named Jazz Jennings has a program. It's a reality program. I don't know the name of it. I don't watch a lot of reality shows. You know, I really don't. I'm not into a lot of these reality shows. I've never seen an episode of the Kardashians or the Housewives or whatever city they're in. I've never watched any of these shows because they don't interest me or anything like that. But this person named Jazz Jennings, he was a young man who believed that he was a woman trapped in a man's body. Let's just say that. And he, you know, he went to transition into a woman. This was how many years ago was it? Maybe 4 or 5 years ago when he was 17, I think it was. I had to really dig into it because I was reminded of it when I saw this video. I just came across the video, and this is right before I came on the show today. And he went, you know, the gender reassignment surgery, I guess that's what they call it, and had his stuff hacked off, and they try to put female genitalia where his man parts used to be. And, you know, and I remember reading about this and that he was going through so much pain because, you know, his stuff was, you know, his new stuff was backfiring on him, so to speak. And I was just listening to a video that came out today on YouTube where he's now having second thoughts about what he's done, you know. And the problem with this is, and see, people are always saying the LGBT community and whatever, they think this way because this is how they were born. They were born homosexual. They were born in a male body, but they really should be a female, and you know, all that kind of garbage. And then now we're having reports, and not just Jazz Jennings, but we're having reports of people who undergo this gender reassignment surgery and whatever. They regret their decisions. And I was watching this video, and the main players in this drama was his parents. They said his parents were grooming him to be a girl since he was 5 years old. Now, dude is, I think, 22 years old now. Parents were grooming him, and they were showing him he's a so-called girl now. And I'm gonna be honest with you. I'm just gonna be straight up and honest with you. If you didn't know who this person was, you would be really fooled by his looks now, because he looks just like an attractive young lady. He does look attractive, overweight young lady, but attractive nonetheless. Now, you got a lot of these guys out here, they like to deceive people and say, you know, that they're really a woman, but they want to say that they are women, but they are really men. And a lot of them have met dire consequences because of their deception. You know, someone says, oh, I see a pretty woman over here. Let me take her home. And, you know, and instead of saying, hey, you know what, I might look like a woman, but I really got man stuff down there, or I'm a transvestite. They won't say that. They'll just go ahead. And then when the man who wants to have his way with them finds out that this is not a woman, that they've been deceived, a lot of times, These transvestites, they end up getting hurt or worse, getting killed. And then people want to come up and say, oh, this is a hate crime. This is a hate crime. Oh, you just don't like homosexuals, but you were being deceptive. This man thought he was getting a woman, but it turns out he's getting you, and you're not a woman. But this guy, Jazz Jennings, he's starting to have and I'll use they and them as no, that's not a pronoun. This is a dude. You are not a her. You are not a them. You are not a they. You are not a there. You are a dude, him. But you've been brainwashed by your parents into thinking that you are an actual girl. And now you've gone through all the gender reassignment and everything. Now you're starting to have regrets. And they said this dude, Jazz Jennings, he will never be able to have a family ever again. You know, he's sterile now. He'll never be able to have a family. And it's too late for him to regret his decision because all his male parts have been hacked off. And people like this, now he's going through all this depression and drama in his mind, and they showed him with his mom, and he's like, oh, you know, every day I got to go through this, you know, I don't know who I am and everything. And the mother's up there, oh, it'll be all right. Come on, give me a hug. That mother's going to be judged. When she stands before God, she's going to be judged on why you pushed your son to be like this. And it's a lot of parents out there who are grooming their children to be the sex of what they are, what they're really not. But when folks like myself or anyone else gets to talking about this type of stuff, we're called haters, you know, transphobic and all this kind of mess, and you're just full of hate. But one of the highest rates of suicide comes among the transgender ranks. And I have a feeling that if Jazz Jennings continues with what's going on in his mind right now, I don't want to say this, and I hope it doesn't happen, I'm guessing that he will probably commit suicide before he is even 30 years old. Because right now he's like, I don't know who I'm. I don't feel like that I'm who I am supposed to be. And you got the news media, you got the liberals out there talking about, oh, you know, these people, this is, you know, trans women are women. No, they are not. They are men pretending to be women. They are not women. They don't have a womb. They don't have female DNA. They do not have female sex genes. They have the double X chromosome. They don't have the XY. Their bodies are not made to produce children. So they are not women. They are men pretending to be women. I don't even like the term trans woman. I call them women pretenders or men pretenders, because you got women, you know, you got women who want to, you know, transition into men. And while I am on that, while I am on this, those of you all out there who call yourselves feminists, if you had half a brain cell in your head, you should understand that this is something you should be pushing back against. You should really be pushing back against this. You know why? Because you got these men who are pretending to be women, and they're trying to join the ranks of females, of actual females, and trying to participate in the same activities that actual females are participating in. Of course, we know about the transgendered males who call themselves females, and they're out there participating in women's sports, and women are suffering because of it, because certain women who should be winning awards for track and field and all this, those awards are being taken away from them and given to to women pretenders. Not only that, I have seen like town meetings. We had a bunch of women getting up there discussing what it's like to be a woman. And among their ranks, they had these women pretenders wanted to give their 2 cents worth about what it is to be a woman. You cannot discuss what it is to be a woman because you are not a woman. You are a woman pretender. And these feminists, I don't understand why they don't come up and say, look here, you don't have a horse to race in this competition because you are not a woman. You are a pretender. That's all you are. So you have no right to be up here with actual women trying to discuss to the public what an actual woman is and what women go through and all this crazy mess, because you are an actual male. And the feminists, they were, you know, traditionally, they are supposedly fighting against, you know, women inequality, fighting against, you know, women's supposedly fighting against discrimination against women. But here you are accepting these pretended women into your ranks as if they're women as well. Now, the feminists, they'll get up there, they'll talk about misogyny, and they'll talk about Donald Trump and all this and everything. But what about these women pretenders that keep joining your ranks and you don't say a cotton picking thing? If there's anything that feminists should be against, it's transgenderism, because these pretty soon, If this continues on the path it is, pretty soon these pretended women are going to take over the roles of actual women. Actual women are going to be pushed to the outside, and these women pretenders, they're going to be the main ones out there talking about, oh, what it's like to be a woman and all that crazy mess, and they don't know what it's like to be a woman. They don't go through the menstrual cycles like a woman does. They will never experience birth pains like women do. But we sit here, you know, and in this society, you know, this liberal-minded society, you know, we sit here and we accept these people as actual women, and they are not. And a lot of these people that get their man parts or their women parts hacked off and replaced, they're going through all kinds of confusion in their mind, all types of tsunamis and tornadoes and hurricanes and earthquakes going on in their mind, and they're going through it constantly. Why? Because They sat there for so many years talking about, well, this is what I am. No, you're a man. No, I'm a woman. I'm a woman. This is what I am. And now they done gone through the transition, and now they don't know who they are. And then as a result, because of the turmoil going on in their brains, they start killing themselves. Committing suicide. Now, I hope and pray that Jazz Jennings doesn't end up committing suicide, but I think he will eventually before he's even 30. If he lasts until 30, good for him. But I don't think Jazz Jennings is going to know how it is to be an old person, because this, he told his mother, hey, I'm going through this turmoil in my mind. I'm going through this turmoil, and it happens every day. And the mom's like, oh, it's going to be okay. Give me a hug. Someone should go upside his mother's head, because like they said in the video, his parents groomed him to be a little girl since he was 5 years old. And see, a lot of you all out there, y'all talk about, oh, these homosexuals, you know what? They're born like this. No, they are not. They are groomed to be like that. Little Johnny might get up there and talk about, oh, I want to wear a dress and everything, and say, oh, Johnny, you want to wear a dress? So that means you're really a girl. No, sometimes children do that. Their brains are still developing. But once they hit puberty and adulthood, their brains straighten out. They're like, shoot, I'm a man. Shoot, I don't want to be no girl. I never wanted to wear a dress or be a girl. I never said, ooh, I want to wear high-heeled shoes. No, because when I saw girls wearing high-heeled shoes and stuff, like, I was like, okay, that's them. But I'm a man. I'm not going to wear no high-heeled shoes. I don't want to be a girl. But people like Jazz Jennings, a lot of times they do not live into adulthood. And you got the media out here pushing transgenderism. You got them pushing homosexuality. You got them pushing, 200 different genders and all that crazy mess. And that is why a lot of these kids, they are so messed up in their heads. And then when someone comes in a loving way, what's up, Yahweh? What's up, girl? Finally made it to my chat page. My sister is in the chat room, so everything is all right with the world. But we have the media pushing all of this stuff about homosexuality and everything, and it's all right to do this. You got school teachers wanting to teach this garbage to our kids in school and think they have the right to teach this to our children, and our children are growing up with warped minds. And then when someone like myself, or, you know, someone with any good, decent common sense comes up and speaks out against this, we are called haters. You're just talking hate. But now these kids, they're trying to transition from the sex that they are to another sex that they aren't. And who's hating who? These kids are hating themselves. And those of you all who know the power of prayer, please pray for Jazz Jennings. I don't think Jazz Jennings is going to live too long. I don't think he is. I really don't think he's going to live that long. Dude's going to end up committing suicide. And I'm not saying that because I'm hoping he does it or whatever, but I really do, because I saw how the turmoil going on in his mind in this video. Like I said, I just viewed this video right before I got on this show today. And I remember Jazz Jennings from back in the day. They gave him gender reassignment surgery or whatever they call it. And he was talking about how much pain he was going through, and they had a hack off a little bit more, and they had to do skin grafts and everything. It's because that's not how God created you. in the first place. In the Bible, it says, God created them male and female. That's the only two genders you need to know. And if you were created a male, God didn't make a mistake. It is mental illness to think that when you are a man, that you are actually a woman. But people like me, we're just a bunch of haters. We just hate you. No, we're speaking the truth to you in love. You don't want to go down this. And too many times we're seeing a lot of what we have said was going to happen, it is starting to happen. Talked about the, you know, the kids who have the two mommies and the two daddies. Those kids are growing up now, and they are regretting that they have two daddies and two mommies. Because it's against nature. First chapter in the book of Romans tells you about this. But hey, we don't believe that Bible. Get that Bible out of our face. That Bible, that's just a bunch of religious zealots. That's just a bunch of religious bigots. And every day, the religious quote-unquote zealots and quote-unquote bigots are proven to be right. Even though people don't want to admit that these religious zealots and these religious bigots are right. Now, this is not the direction I wanted this show to go into, but it was just something I had to mention. You know, it's being a born again Christian. You know, this type of stuff it really, you know, boggles my mind how people can fall into this. And this is why I tell people, you know, a lot of times I don't like to identify as a conservative, even though politically I probably am. But I tell people the first thing I identify as is a born-again Christian. The other day we were watching something on one of these college campus meetings or whatever. My wife likes to watch a lot of this stuff. And this guy said, well, I'm a gay person who believes in the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior. Not if you're gay. And this has nothing to do with prejudice or biases. This has nothing to do with that. Now, if you have a problem with people speaking out against homosexuality, don't take it up with them. Take it up with God, because God is the one who set that standard, not the Christians. It's like if you haven't been paying your electric bill and whatever, and the electric company sends that letter in the mail and says, hey, you know what? You haven't been paying your bill. If you don't pay your bill by a certain amount of time, we're going to cut off your electricity, and you want to get mad at the mailman. Really, you shouldn't be getting mad at anybody but yourself. Don't get mad at the electric company either, because they got rules and regulations. But the mailman delivers the message to you, and you want to beat up the mailman. I don't know. You might want to sick your dog on a... Well, sick the dog on the mailman or something like that. No, the mailman just delivered the message. So don't get mad at the Christians when they talk about homosexuality. Now, there are some certain people who consider themselves to be Christians. They're like, yeah, kill them all, you know. Now, some people call themselves Christians. They don't know how to speak in love. Don't get me wrong on that. But I'm not defending homosexuals. I will never defend homosexuals. Now, you might look at it and be like, oh, man, listen to him. Oh, he's hateful. He says he'll never. No, I never will. Because you all have the same rights that we do. And just because you're in a lifestyle that you agree with doesn't mean I have to agree with you. I'm not going to agree with you. I'm sorry. Really, I'm not sorry, but, you know, I don't care what you think about yourself. Your lifestyle is not a lifestyle that gives glory to God. I'm sorry. If you're thinking I'm the one hating on you or whatever, you need to take it up with God. You take it up with him. He's the one that made the rule. And I don't like that, you know, God made the rule. You know, that doesn't sound right to me. But you know what you understand what I'm saying. But once again, thanks to a dude named Pianchi, he sent me an article this week, and really, I knew about this before the article even came out. You all know in Africa, you find very few people who accept homosexuality. Matter of fact, my wife and I, we were watching a movie by I think it was Matt Walsh, called What is a Woman? And during this documentary, he went to Africa. He was with these people in a village, and he said, can a man ever become a woman, or, you know, vice versa? And they were like, no. They said, and not only that, they said, something must be wrong with your head if you are a man and you think you can be a woman. I'm like, look at that. These Africans, they don't have the technology that we have. A lot of them don't go on the internet or anything like that, but they got a lot more sense than we do. Now, in Uganda, this week, their parliament passed an anti-homosexual legislation. And people are up in arms about this thing. Oh, first of all, you all need to understand something. Uganda is a sovereign country, just like the United States. And people are calling for disruption of aid to Uganda because they passed this law against homosexuality. And not only that, but in some cases, your homosexuality could end up costing you your life. You could get the death penalty for being a homosexual. But yet and still, over here in the United States, people want to sit here, oh, the United States, they hate homosexuals and everything. Well, you go to another country, go to the Mideast or some of these other Asian countries or these African countries, go in there and start waving.
Okay, can you guys hear me now? Let me know in the chat room. I don't know what has happened to my computer. Might need to get a new computer. All right, just waiting for someone in the chat room. Hopefully you all can hear me. Okay, all right. I had to go to my iPhone to continue the show. I don't know what has happened. Oh, you can hear me on the computer? Like when I do this, you can hear me? Okay. I don't know what's going on here, folks. My computer just went blank. It's still on. It's still operating. And I'm afraid to reboot it because I've done that before, and I still haven't been able to get into the show, so I decided to call in as a guest and do it that way, you know, on my iPhone and whatever. But I don't know what's going on, but, hey, the show will go on. Okay. I might need to get a new computer, to be honest with you. I've had this one for 9 years now, and I'm in the market for a new computer. Yeah, it's them fruit bats, man. They fluttering around and everything. But I was talking about the, you know, the homosexual, you know, the bill in Uganda where they you know, they outlawed homosexuality and to the point where it could actually cost someone their lives. It could actually cost people their lives if they're ever caught, you know, committing a homosexual act and whatever. And I really don't have a problem with that. I have to see what the details are. I'm not a type of person that believes that you should be put to death simply because you are a homosexual. I have said this, though, that if you are a person who molests little children or whatever, I say death penalty all the way. I say, you know, death penalty in that case. People are up in arms now. They're talking about, you know, Uganda, you know, we need to stop aid for Uganda because of this and everything. First of all, Uganda is a sovereign nation just like the United States. They are a sovereign nation just like the United States, and that's their law. You know, see, you're not going to see hordes of homosexuals in Uganda or most of your African countries or the Middle East or some of these Asian countries. You're not going to see homosexuals getting out there in the middle of the street waving their rainbow flags. Don't do that in the United States because they're free to do that. But in these other countries, yeah, try that in Saudi Arabia or Iran or any of these other places. Like I said earlier, they're going to take you to the top of the highest building, and they're going to drop you off. But people don't want to see it like that. They always want to, you know, oh, you know, the homosexuals, they're people too. Yeah, they're people too. Yeah. And I say, you know, anyone, you know, they should be treated like human beings too, but I'm not going to accept your lifestyle. That's the problem. And people think because you disagree, simply if you disagree with the homosexuals, that, you know, you must hate them. No, we don't hate you. It's your lifestyle. You're a man, and you think you are a woman trapped in a man's body. That is mental illness. That is not biology. That is not science. And people get caught up in this mess, and you got people who are actual heterosexuals who are talking this garbage. Oh, that's how they were born. Oh, that's how they are. But like I said with Jazz Jennings earlier, Jazz Jennings is having a lot of regrets now. Of course, the media won't come out and say, you know what, Jazz Jennings is having regrets about having gender reassignment surgery. They're not going to do that. They'll just sit there and say, oh, he's just going through a phase. He's just going through a phase, but after a while it'll be over. He'll be good. He'll be fine. Crazy mess, people. This is crazy. This is real crazy. Man, I tell you, I hate that I don't have my computer screen, and I can't hook up another computer screen. But yeah, you go to some of these African countries, you go Middle East, all that, you know, go waving your rainbow flag there. And why people keep thinking the United States is the worst place for women, the United States is the worst place for black folks, the United States is the worst place for homosexuals. Apparently, you haven't been in another country. Homosexuals got it good in the United States. You know, over the past, I think, 10 years, the number of homosexuals in this country has doubled thanks to, you know, grooming of our children and pushing these LGBTI XYZ rights. This is silly mess, people. This is silly. You can talk all that smack in the United States because in the United States, you're not going to be taken to the highest building and dropped off or put in a cage and the cage set on fire or however they deal with the homosexuals in these other places. That's not going to happen to you in the United States, but they still want to act like the United States is the worst place for a homosexual to live. My wife is from Liberia. She said they don't allow homosexuals in Liberia either. And I think, if I'm correct, most African countries don't permit homosexuality. I think one of the exceptions is probably South Africa. I got to look at that one. But I'm thinking South Africa might be an exception. But anyway, that's basically all I wanted to say about that. I have no more to say about that. The other story I wanted to talk about, and this one shows you that is inherent in some people or a lot of people in this country. The NAACP, I don't call them the NAACP, I call them the NAALCP, National Association for the Advancement of Liberal Colored Folks. Their division in Jacksonville, Florida. Now keep that in mind, Jacksonville, Florida. They are calling for a travel ban to Florida because of Ron DeSantis's policies or whatever. Now you're in Florida. Keep that in mind. You're in Florida, Jacksonville. I've been to Jacksonville. Beautiful city. And they want to boycott. They want to tell people to boycott visiting Florida or from moving to Florida. Now, that's a sore point with me because Florida is my absolutely favorite state in the United States, even though I don't live there. I love me some Florida. I've always loved Florida. When I was a kid, I was a Miami Dolphins fan, and that caused me, you know, because I got a little nerd in me and everything, caused me to, you know, look at a map of Florida and you know, learn about Florida and stuff like that. And I said, you know what? One of these days I'm going to go to Florida. The first time I ever stepped foot in Florida was in 2006. It was my second wedding anniversary in 2006. Me and my wife decided to take a jaunt down there, and I just absolutely loved it. Now, when I first moved to North Carolina in 1986, North Carolina took place as my number one state. But when I went to Florida, I said, you know what, North Carolina, I love you. I still love you. I always will. You have treated me well, but Florida is my state of choice. And if I could ever, you know, live in Florida, I probably would do that. But these guys, this shows you our stupidity, our utter stupidity. I mean, you live in Florida. Okay, so what do boycotts usually aim to do? Boycotts usually aim to affect the finances of the object being boycotted. Let's go back to 1955. Rosa Parks, she refuses to give up her seat for a white person. They arrest her. Martin Luther King devises a, you know, and I really don't think it really originated with Martin Luther King. I've been getting some information lately. I really don't think it actually originated with Martin Luther King, but for the sake of argument, they initiated a boycott, and this boycott hurt the bus system in Birmingham, Alabama, to the point where they, you know, they dropped their segregation law on the buses. Now they think they're going to do the same thing with Florida. They did the same stupid thing about 20 or 30 years ago in South Carolina. In South Carolina, because, you know, South Carolina's flag had the Confederate symbol on it, and they were boycotting South Carolina. And I said it even then. I said, this is stupid. Flag has flown for about 40 years. And South Carolina is probably one of the top states, if it isn't in the top, probably the top five states for black people. And you're telling people to boycott the state of South Carolina. But do you realize that there are actually black people that live in South Carolina? And if this boycott ever takes hold, it's not only going to affect the white people, it's going to affect the black people too. You're not going to be exempt from the economic hardship that the boycott could possibly bring. Same thing in Florida. A lot of black people live there. You got black people who play sports in Florida. Telling people, and you live in Florida. That's the thing that gets me. You live in Florida. Your chapter of the NAACP is actually in Florida, and you're calling for a boycott to the very state that you live in. How backwards is that? Because you don't like Ron DeSantis, because of Ron DeSantis's policies. He doesn't want CRT taught in the classroom, trying to deny black people. He's trying to deny black people their history. Well, did he call for an outright ban of CRT? He just doesn't want to talk in the classrooms. Now, if you want to teach your kids that garbage, which a lot of you all are, teach them at home. But a school is not a place to be teaching messed up history, which CRT is messed up history, revised history. This is stupid mess, people. This is real stupid. I really don't understand their mode of thinking. You live in Florida, but you're calling for a ban to your own state. Ron DeSantis is not calling for the abolishment of black history in Florida. Ron DeSantis is calling for abolishment of teaching children critical race theory, because basically what it teaches is that black children are, if you are black, then you are a constant victim. And if you are a white person, you're guilty of making victims of these black people. That's basically what CRT is. That's what it aims to teach. It's teaching white kids, hey, it's teaching white kids to hate themselves, and it's teaching black kids to see themselves as victims, which to me is the same thing as teaching them to hate themselves too. Ron DeSantis is not saying, oh, we don't need to learn this about black people. See, thanks to our lapdogs in the media, they push that narrative. And a lot of you all who don't study, who don't read, you don't even have to really study and read. You just have to use God-given common sense. Some of you all don't even use God-given common sense. And as the saying goes, common sense is not so common today. Y'all don't even use that. You just go with the narrative. Because the media has conditioned you to believe a certain way. So when they blow their dog whistle, you want to talk about, you know, dog whistles. When they blow their dog whistle, you respond on a dime. And I'm like, you know what? Beam me up, Scotty. There is no longer any intelligent life on this planet. Just beam me up. Take me to Mars or something. Ain't no life on Mars, but it's got more intelligence than some of the people down here on this planet. or better yet, just take me out of the galaxy. Take me about 10,000 galaxies away. Maybe there's a place where people actually have common sense. I mean, this is messed up stuff. This is really messed up. And you know what? I'm gonna mention something else too that shows the stupidity in our country as well. Well, I might have to wait until, you know, after the announcements. But this just shows some people's stupidity. But I'm gonna mention something else, and then I'm gonna go to the phones. But this is gonna be after the end of the hour. But this is the type of stuff we have to come up against, because you've got a lot of people out there, and I know I say this ad nauseum, but it bears repeating. They are intellectually and mentally lazy. They want to sit around and let somebody feed information to them, and all they get is a lot of knowledge, but they have no wisdom to go with that knowledge. It's like when someone pours you a glass of lemon juice, and they say, drink this lemon juice, but your average person can't drink lemon juice, you know, straight up, because it's so sour, so you have to add a little sugar to it. The lemon juice is the knowledge. The sugar is the wisdom, you know. Wisdom basically tells you to do with what you know. But a lot of people, they're not being taught critical thinking. And it's through critical thinking where wisdom comes in. And a lot of people, they know stuff. They know stuff, but they really have no wisdom to act on what they know. So they depend on someone to passively feed this information to them without realizing that the person who is feeding this information to you, they're sitting there like, okay, this person is depending on me to feed this information to them. So why not just twist it around a little bit and give them my version of what I think they should be hearing? That's your news media today. That is your news media. That is your faithful news media. Hey there, I guess Bring It Boy E, I think it's Suzette. How you doing? But that's our news media today. They say, okay, you're depending on us for information, so we're going to give you the information that we think you deserve, you should be hearing. And because these people don't like the truth, a lot of times what you get from the media, the news media, is devoid of the truth. Okay, I'm going to stop it right there. Oh my goodness, I can't even do my ads. Can't even do my ads because I had to go to another screen because my screen is acting up. So you know what, you all, hopefully Robert Garding will see this and he'll understand. You know, I'm just going to go on with the show, you know. What I wanted to talk about, in addition to, you know, the NAACP calling for a boycott of the state of Florida, did you all see the news about the parental rights bill? The parental rights bill, which basically states that parents have a right to see what their children are learning in school, and that they can determine what their children are learning in school. Basically, you know, the parental rights bill doesn't give parents that right. It just spells it out. They already have the right. Any good parent will be concerned about what their children are learning at school. Of course, you got some lazy parents that really don't give a flip about what their kids are learning. They just, oh, you know, go to school and whatever. But for the most part, a good parent is going to want to know what their teachers are teaching their kids at school. And if the parent does not agree with what their children are being taught, then they have the right to speak out on it. Now, you got some powers that be that are saying these parents, they shouldn't be telling us what to be teaching their children. Excuse me, did you birth these kids? Go tell us what to teach your children. Yeah, you need to be teaching the children reading, writing, and arithmetic. You don't need to be teaching children critical race theory or Johnny has two mommies and Heather has two daddies. You don't need to be teaching children that, oh, if you feel like a girl and you're a boy, you're really a girl. We don't need teachers teaching our kids that. You know the power. I don't understand some people's mode of thinking. Because, you know, you got Sheila Jackson Lee and, oh, gosh, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. You got them talking about this is fascism. How dare you tell kids what books they can read and what they can't read? Oh, really? So tell me, is it all right for a child to bring a Bible to school? Have you seen some of these books that have been approved by these teachers' unions? Now, I was talking to my wife the other day, and my wife actually saw one of the books. And, of course, they had the nasty parts, you know, pixelated and everything. She said, is that what they're teaching the kids in school? Is that what they're teaching them now? I said, sweetie, I've seen those books back in the 90s. They were grooming our children back in the 90s. I remember these books showing little boys playing with themselves and little boys and girls getting their libido satisfied, if you know what I mean. I got books about Planned Parenthood from the 90s that they describe that Planned Parenthood was pushing this garbage as early as the 1980s. And it's all just coming to a head now. Now, if a man was in the park and he had one of these books and he was showing these books to children in the park, you know that man will be arrested and put in jail. But, oh, okay, it's all right to teach our children this garbage. Teach them, you know, you need to discover yourself sexually. And there are a lot of parents saying, you're not going to be teaching. Our kids are not mature enough for this type of stuff. Now, when they turn 18 and, you know, they're out the house or whatever, you know, when they leave the house, they can do whatever they want. But as long as I'm the parent and this child lives in my home, you do not have the right to be teaching my children this kind of mess. And see, this is why I believe the liberals really do not care about you. And I'm going to keep saying this until everybody breathes in every last molecule that I breathe out. They do not care about you. All they care about is the amount of power that they wield over you, because ain't no one in their right mind going to support teachers just teaching whatever they want to teach your kids. Teachers teaching your child, you and Susie, oh, y'all want to discover yourselves sexually? You know, it's okay. And this mess is being pushed by organizations like Planned Parenthood because they know that sexual immorality leads to delicious dollars on the other end. Someone gets pregnant out of wedlock. They don't want that child. They don't want that pregnancy. Oh, just go to your nearest abortion clinic and get rid of the kids. Give us your money. Oh, yeah, I remember that book. I remember that book, Suzette. Y'all remember those Judy Blume books back in the 70s and the 80s? Man, them Judy Blume books were popular among the girls back in that time. They were real popular. And I remember that book, Are You There, God? It's Me, Margaret. I never read any of those books, you know, because I was like too many girls reading it. I don't think I need to be reading that book. And even then, they had some questionable material in those books. Now, I never, like I said, I never read those books, but I've, you know, seen people do, you know, reviews and stuff on them. And some of the material in those books, ain't no little girl should be reading that. And those Judy Blume books, oh, if you had, they used to, one of the reasons why they, in school libraries, one of the main reasons why they have detectors and whatever in these school libraries, one of the main reasons why was because these girls would get these Judy Blume books and they would be stealing them from the library. They loved Judy Blume. Oh, my gosh. It was like epidemic. And I remember them days. Yeah, it wasn't outrageous. It may have been a little too mature for the girls at that time, but it wasn't outrageous like what you're seeing today. Nowhere near as outrageous, you know. But, man, I was like, oh, my gosh. These days, and my wife, she was like, wait a minute, is that what they teaching our kids now? I said, sweetie, I remember these books back from the 90s. She was like, really? I said, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I remember them showing that on TV and how parents were in an uproar about these books. And, you know, people were back then, they would say, oh, you just hate, you know, homosexuals and you hate, you know, kids exploring themselves and all that crazy mess and everything. But now, these books are becoming a norm in your schools, even in your libraries. I forget which library it was. They said when you come into the library, right there at the entrance to the library, they have their top 10 books. And some of these books are sexually perverted. Makes me want to go to our new library here in Durham, North Carolina. You know, and a couple of years ago, they renovated our library, and it looks like it's state of the art. Makes me want to take a trip there, see if they got the same thing. And see, I'm one of those type of people that, like, you know, hey, you need to find some information. You ain't got it at home. Go to the library. But now I'm starting to wonder about that. I'm starting to reconsider that. I remember when I was in the sixth grade, I had to do a report on the country of Nicaragua in Oxon Hill, Maryland, Prince George's County, right outside of Southeast D.C. And we had a library right there in Oxon Hill, Maryland, you know, just a few miles from where I live. We went there, got all the information on Nicaragua and everything, and I wrote the report and turned it in to my sixth grade teacher. I got a B- on that report. And one of the compliments my teacher gave me, her name was Mrs. Blair. One of the compliments she gave me was, she said, this was a neat report. And we would go to the library. Now, growing up, I had, my parents had two sets of encyclopedias. They had a subscription to Time Life. Y'all remember them Time Life books back in the day? I miss them days. And these books sat on the shelf in our basement. And every now and then, you know, if I got bored or something, I'd go downstairs to my basement, crack open one of those books. This is the main reason why I call BS on people saying that black people don't have the same opportunities that white people do. And when I say BS, BS stands for beaver scat. Just to let you know. But But I grew up around books, magazines, encyclopedias. I was on Amazon the other day. You know they are selling a set of encyclopedias for about $1,100. I said, wait a minute, they still sell encyclopedias? Go to Amazon. I think it's called the World Book Encyclopedia. That's the same type of encyclopedia I had when I was growing up. $1,100, which, you know, sounds about right because getting those encyclopedias was not cheap, even back in the day. So I was like, oh, my gosh. You know, and I listened to these people today talking about, oh, we don't have the same opportunities white folks do. But you never invest in the education of your children. That's not the teacher's responsibility to invest in that. It's your responsibility. What are you saying? You would have got an F for what you know about the Nicaragua War, the real truth. Yeah, I probably would have. And I learned a lot about Nicaragua. Its capital city is Managua. Lake Nicaragua is notorious for the bull sharks that live in there. People have been attacked by bull sharks in Lake Nicaragua. Central American country. North is Costa Rica. I think south is Honduras, if I'm correct, or Panama. It's one of them. I'm supposed to be a geography major. I'm supposed to know this. But we sit here, we make excuses about why we have these shortcomings, and then we want to tell somebody else, hey, feed us information. And we don't realize that the very people who are feeding us the information, they understand that, hey, this person depends on me for information, so why not just muddy this information up a little bit? Let me alter it a little bit so I can get them to believe what I want them to believe. That describes your modern day news media to a T. Because they know a lot of you all out there are not going to take the time and say, I hear what this person is saying. Let me check out to see if what they're saying is actually true. And that's why you have these people who jump to conclusions when they hear certain stories. You know, because certain stories trigger them, you know, like a white cop beating down a black person, that triggers them, and they're like, oh, that cop is a racist. But they won't look into the story of why the cop beat down this racist. Now, of course, you got cops that do beat down people, and they know they shouldn't be doing it. But for the most part, that's not the case. But people want to believe what they want to believe because they've been told to believe what their sources of information is telling them to believe. That's why I tell people I'm a free-thinking black man. Now, I've fallen for that trap several times. I have. I've fallen for that trap several times. Someone telling me something, and I just believe it, and then someone has to come around and say, Vincent, hey, nah, that's not the deal. You know, you've been duped, and I have to admit, oh, yeah, I've been duped. Most of us have fallen for that mess. And see, that's where we come in and say, we have to tell ourselves, okay, I hear what you are saying, dude, or do that, or whatever. But let me check this out on my own. And a lot of people are not going to do that. When they turn the TVs on, they're not having their children watching anything educational. They got them watching Dragon Ball or some cartoon or something like that. Or their kids are playing video games and stuff like that. But they're not going to invest in their children's education. Why? Because someone didn't invest in theirs, and they haven't reached that age of maturity like they should. Comes a little daunting. It becomes a daunting job for them to invest in the kids' education. I don't know this stuff. That's a teacher's job. No, it's your job. It's your responsibility to create an atmosphere in your household that is conducive to your child's learning. And if they fail, don't blame the school system. You need to blame yourself. Just like that mother in Baltimore, her kid was supposed to graduate in a few months' time, found out he was going to be dropped all the way back to the ninth grade. And she was like, well, I didn't know. Well, they failed my child. No, you failed your child, because when the child, when we were coming up, they had quarters in the school year. And at the end of each quarter, that's when report cards went out. And parents were informed that this is when report cards are coming out. Now, this mother, she didn't even check her child's report card. And she's sitting there, she's probably feeling all proud. Oh, my boy's about to graduate and everything. And then she gets a bomb dropped on her. And then she wants to blame the school system. No, don't blame the school system. Blame yourself. And she in there talking to her child. You know, they showed her talking to the child. They wouldn't show the child's face. But the child was sitting there playing a video game. She's sitting there talking to him, said, you know what, honey, we're going to overcome this. And he just sitting there playing a video game. I want to unplug that thing, put it up somewhere, and been like, look, you're not going to be embarrassed. You're going to get your schoolwork done. This boy, actually, he only had like 4 or 6 credits. Hardly went to school, but the mom was, oh, I didn't know this. And you parents out there, stop depending on your children to tell you everything what's going on in school. You get mad at your children because they don't tell you what's going on in school. It is your responsibility as the parent to go to the school and say, okay, what's up? Okay, when's the report cards? How is my child doing in school? Slapping their kids all upside of here. How come you didn't tell me this was good? You think your child's going to tell you everything? No. That's why it is up to you. You're taking a responsibility that belongs to you and trying to put it on the child. This is crazy mess. All right, folks. I've been sitting here. I've just been running off at the lip. I've just been bouncing this lip. Let me go to my phones. I can't do the fruit bat signal. Okay, there's my fruit bat signal. Now, if you are a person who wants to indulge in excessive profanity, character assassinations, ad hominem attacks, trolling, gaslighting, things of that sort, and I pick up this phone. And you don't take heed to my warning not to indulge in that type of stuff, let it be known I will be happy to oblige you. Okay, now, like I said earlier in the program, I'm not going to ban people from this show anymore because you come on here like that. I will hang up on you, but if you come on the show again like next week or something like that, then, you know, I'll still let you on, you know. But you know, if you come on here acting stupid, yeah, I will be happy to hang up on you, okay? Don't come here being a fruit bat, okay? So having said all that, let me go to the phones. Uh-oh. Oh, I pushed the wrong button.
Hey, Vincent, what's going on, man?
What's cracking, dude? I'm glad I got through to you. I was a little concerned about that.
Well, you know, it goes like that sometimes.
Yeah.
But, you know, this NAACP is clinging out of his mind. It gets a $50 million donation from Wells Fargo, the very bank that was in the courts back during the Dillman-Feldman lawsuit against railroads and banks trying to get reparations out of it. It was in that court in Chicago, that appellate court in Chicago. I think it was the Fourth Circuit. I'm not sure. And the judge dismissed it. But they are prostitutes to taking money from anybody, frankly. And then they pull these stunts about boycotting states. They've done the same thing with Missouri telling drivers to avoid driving through Missouri, you stand a chance of being killed by white police.
Yeah,
I wonder if they even consider reality. It's black males that's doing this killing in these cities. That's who it is. It's black males, BLACKMALES, who make up about 6% of the U.S. population.
Yeah, that's bold print, underline, and exclamation point.
Is they're doing it in St. Louis, North St. Louis, North St. Louis County, Chicago, South Side, West Side, Philadelphia, Jackson, Mississippi. These are black males that you need to handle. Memphis, Tennessee, even the damn, you say you want to have black police to patrol blacks in black communities because they know the culture. Well, I tend to kind of agree with you on that. They do know the culture. And the culture has always seemingly been that if you do something wrong, you get your butt kicked.
Yeah. Exactly.
And when these black police officers on these dropout squads jump out on some of these gang members and some of these criminals, kick their ass when they don't comply, well, guess what you asked for? If whites do it, it's racist.
Yeah.
This stuff gets to be sickening. That's all they claim. Like that Cori Bush, black face, first black female congressperson, first congressional district in St. Louis, every other verbiage out of her mouth is white supremacy and racism.
Yeah. Yep, it certainly is.
And now they own DeSantis talking about, I was listening to a radio station in Chicago, not Chicago, but Detroit, a blog talk station. And lo and behold, here they are talking about how DeSantis, and get this, is don't want blacks to be able to know their history. That's a damn lie. And nobody said anything about that.
No.
9:10 a.m. superstation. Nobody's saying nothing about that. The guy was talking about Rosa Parks. Well, good goddamn. If you blacks in Detroit thought so much of Rosa Parks, when her house was up for condemnation and $500 in back taxes, nobody came forward black in that city to save it.
Yeah.
You know who came forward and saved that house from demolition? It was some whites out of Germany. Goddamn, Germany,
folks.
Man. White
folks. It's always the white folks. It's always the white folks.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's always the white folks. And while we're on that, this morning I was listening to a podcast called The Off Code. The Off Code podcast. I would recommend my listeners to listen to that podcast. It's called The Off Code Podcast. You should be able to find it on wherever you can get a podcast. Oh, my goodness. I was listening to some stuff this morning. They were talking about the lies of black history. I said, oh, my goodness. These people are on point. And these are black folks. These ain't white folks talking about this. These are black folks. And I was listening to them. I said, well, dog, they could be my co-host on Black by Color Only.
God. They hear us, hear people like you, me, and Sarge, and they come out because they see that we ain't getting our necks cut off and never dare somebody to try it. They come on out. They coming out, and they revealing the hypocrisy. And the funny thing, you know, getting back to Rosa Parks, I don't guess where that house is now. They disassembled it, took it to Germany, reassembled it, and rehabbed it. Now they use it to drive around Europe on display collecting money for people to come in and look at.
You know
it's
what?
In Naples right now.
I forgot about that, but that is so true. I forgot all about that. Yeah, they took her house apart and took it to Germany. They don't even have it in the United States anymore. And I'm sitting there like, now how crazy is that?
All Negroes do is talk, bitch, and moan.
That's
all they do.
Do a lot of talking, bouncing the lip, but they're not saying anything. Let me keep you on.
Your Anna Presley, your Rashida Tlaib, your AOC, and she ain't no Negro. That's all
yeah.
they do is run their damn mouth on a bunch of old frivolous stuff. Candace Owens was down in Louisiana State this past week, Tuesday.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
man, she's
that.
A big crowd down there. Boy, and she is a beautiful woman.
Yeah, she is.
She ain't none of these big lard butts. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, yeah. She takes her, you know, you can't believe that she's had two children.
Oh, man, the lady is so beautiful.
Yeah,
she's got these big Popeye arms. And these birds. These golden eagle eyelashes.
I tell you.
You got to talk like you see it.
Yeah.
Let me tell you something. Everybody's against these Confederate names. You know, and see, to go to show you how ignorant they are, let me tell you some people who have Confederate names. You remember that comedian name, that comedy guy named Richard Pryor?
Yeah.
Well, that was a General Pryor in the Confederate Army.
Mm.
Oh. You remember that street court basketball player in New York that Kareem Abdul-Jabbar used to talk about how great he was? And they used to go and watch him. His name was Matago. Remember him?
Oh, okay, yeah.
They called him the GOAT. He was a General Matagoat in the Confederate Army. San Francisco catcher, Posey, Buster Posey. Posey, that was a General Posey in the Confederate Army. Hey, what about the righteous man, Malachi York? Remember him?
Nah, that name doesn't strike me.
Malachi York kind of reminds me of, like, Father Divine. You know, it's going to take black people, and they're going to have their own little compounds. But matter of fact, he did. Well, of course, there was a General York in the Confederate Army. This next guy, I really admire him. He's a straight-up goody. I mean, but his name?
Yeah.
He's a famous basketball player. Played for the Los Angeles Lakers. Shaquille O'Neal. They call him Shaq.
Yep.
That was a Confederate General O'Neal. You remember the one that sung the song, "You're Gonna Use Me Up Till You There Ain't No More"?
Yeah, yeah.
Bill Withers. Well, that was a Confederate General by the name of Withers.
Yep. And let's not forget Muhammad Ali. His original name was Cassius Clay. Guess who he was named after?
Go ahead and tell us.
He was named after an abolitionist named Cassius Clay, and people did not like Cassius Clay. But here's Muhammad Ali talking about, you know, I'm no longer Cassius Clay because that's my slave name, but you were named after a guy who fought against slavery.
Mm-hmm. And then what about some boys up there in Indiana? One of them named was Michael. The Jacksons.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Gary Indiana.
Yep. Then what about that other comedian named Eddie Murphy? You know what his middle name is?
Eddie Murphy. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
His middle name is Reagan. Oh, yeah. See, that's there, what I just got through telling you is what you call critical race theory. That's critical race theory right there.
Yeah, exactly.
That is critical race theory that our kids need to know.
Yeah, exactly. And they need to, and given, we need to understand that we can't teach them, the teachers cannot teach our children everything. You know, I hear people say, oh, they're not teaching this in school, they're not teaching this. It's only but so much that a teacher can teach your child. That's why we need to have households that are conducive to the learning of our children. You know, the learning begins at home, okay? And a lot of people don't seem to understand that. They seem to think, oh, it's the teacher's job to teach. No, it's your job, you know, and you should have enough knowledge to be able to teach your child. No one's asking you to be a PhD or master's degree or anything like that. Nobody's asking you to have that. But basically, you have to, you have to have a atmosphere that's conducive to your child's learning. Turn off those and let me sit down and teach you something right quick. Turn off that video game and let me teach you something right quick, you know. And some of our parents, we've had these experiences in the past and whatever, and we can teach our children, we can pass that down to our children about the experiences that we have had so that our children won't make the same mistakes that we did when we were coming up, you know. But a lot of parents, they don't want that job. And if you don't want that job, then you're not – you shouldn't be calling yourself a parent. You know, you're just somebody who's keeping children, but you're not a parent.
You can teach your child wherever you want to, at home, church, and community setting.
Exactly.
But you can't be teaching that biased stuff in public schools because
that's
you got
right.
kids that's sitting there in the classroom that hails from all sorts of backgrounds. And ethnicity. Like you got kids in some classrooms in St. Louis. They're from Serbia and Bosnia. And we
yep.
know the war that they had between each other. So how
yep.
you going to keep one side next thing you know, they had a whole damn classroom in a fisticuff.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
see, blacks want to teach white kids. They ain't worried about teaching their own.
Yeah.
You know?
Exactly.
And you know where it show? You know where it show? Because you got a preponderous number of black kids that can't read and do math. And you
exactly.
imagine that in 2023, and they're talking about black history. How are they going to teach their history? In Braille?
I mean, for real. Hey, Piongi, let me keep you on there. I think I accidentally brought Sarge into the show. Sarge, are you there?
Man, ain't no accident that I'm here. I'm here to help spit some of this knowledge that you and Piongi are putting out. Hey, brother, what's up, man? Don't worry
what
about
is
that. I drove them all away with my air surveillance radar.
Oh, okay.
Hey, man, look here, man. Look, man. You know, one of the easiest things for a forensic anthropologist to determine, I'm going to tell you what it is. One of the easiest, may not be the easiest, but it's got to be the number two thing that any decent forensic anthropologist can tell. Whether the skeleton that they're looking at belong to a man or a woman. Now, men's bones are not only bigger, they got an average 50% more bone mass than women's. Many of the bones, the most significant important bones, like the pelvis, the femur, the skull, they got what they call a sex-specific morphology, meaning they're shaped differently. And
yeah.
the way the bones, the ligaments, which attach the muscles to the bones, the way they insert into the bone is different because men's structure inserts are much bigger because of their bigger muscle mass. That's another way they can tell. And, you know, the mastoid region behind the ears is more pronounced. The jaw is square. The pelvis is narrower. The legs attach at the hip in a more parallel manner. And long after everything that kept us alive, like our internal organs, have liquefied, drained into the soil, and completely evaporated, long after that, long after every cell in your body, every skin cell, everything, to turn to nitrogen as fertilizer for that soil, everything that made you identifiable to everybody who knew you in your life, the male or femaleness of your bone structure remains behind, and you cannot change it. It is inalterable.
Right.
Now, I'm saying this, you know, to ask this basic question. Why do we even come up with women's sports in the first damn place? Why not just allow all comers of any sex, of both sexes, and I ain't going to say gender, that's nonsense, any sex,
yeah.
both sex, to compete equally? Now, I'm going to tell you why not. Everybody knows why, but because we don't tell truths anymore. We don't want to tell what the truth is. One of the factors that cause most truly competitive athletes, now I'm not talking about people who engage in sports for the fitness level or for the joy of the game. I'm talking about people who are competitive on either an amateur or professional level. One of the things that makes them do it is the aspirational possibility of their becoming a champion in that sport one day. Now, male competitive athletes in any sport, I don't care what it is, that involves speed and or strength and or power, and this is what we've got to stop being afraid to say, are significantly and measurably superior to female competitive athletes competing in the same sport. A woman will never be the champion in any such sport unless she's given an unfair handicap advantage over a man competing in the same sport.
That's just that simple.
We're afraid to tell the truth about it. We don't want to. So what have we done? It's the reluctance to acknowledge this truth, the fact that we don't want to acknowledge the truth anymore because truth is hurtful and microaggressive or something, whatever these fools come up with this therapeutic language they're always coming up with.
Yeah.
Given the imperatives of diversity, equity, and inclusion, radical gender determinant feminism, and this mantra, I mean, this mantra, like some kind of mindless shibboleth repeated over and over and over and over again. A woman can do everything a man can do just as well or better. A woman can do everything a man can do just as well or better. You're supposed to say that? You're not supposed to challenge it? I mean, in fact, you never talk about the disadvantages of women ever. You only talk about how men are bad this way. They're bad like this. They're more violent. They're more aggressive. They don't cooperate with everybody, blah, blah. But you never hear any. No. Everything. Women can do everything just well or better than men. Don't you dare question it. So, now, you are not only to repeat this endlessly and just disregard the empirical evidence of your own eyes to the contrary, you know, as well as the records that we have. You know, the records, like the record in the male's 100-meter dash is like something like just over 9.5 seconds, okay? Now, the woman's record was established by Florence Griffith Joyner in back in the 80s. She did it in like 10.5 seconds, somewhere around there. There's a difference of a second. So a second, that's not any time. In a 100-meter dash, it's an eternity. It's literally much as 5 to 10 yards difference.
Yeah.
Because you can cover that much in about a second, and you're going that speed. They're going over 20 miles an hour, 22, 23 miles an hour. You can cover that literally in a second, 5, 10 yards. It is almost, to make up that kind of distance in that short of a distance is a huge athletic leap. And that record that Florence Joyner Griffith set was set way back in the 80s, ain't no woman topped it yet. And men keep improving their speed distance in a 100-meter dash. So, therefore, if you accept this dogma that I just said, women do everything just as well as man or better, you know, which is clearly not true in competitive sports involving speed and or strength and or power. It is simply not true, okay? Then you should also believe that it shouldn't make any kind of a difference if a mediocre or lower-ranking male transgender athlete who is barely competitive against other men is suddenly thrust into sport, competitive sport, against real women, and then suddenly this guy shatters all the records and dominates this sport. Well, he's just another woman, man, and we know men aren't really better at anything than men because women can do everything just well or better than a man. We all understand it, and there's no arguing with that. So this whole thing is just another one of the obvious and hideous lies that neo-Marxists demand us to accept every day about everything. You're supposed to ignore the evidence of your eyes, what Pianki just talked about, all this crime in the cities, who's committing it, where they're committing it, in the very few counties in the United States where it is widespread. I'm talking about 15 counties in the United States out of over 3,300 where all this homicide, excluding suicide, talking about homicide, excluding suicide, is going on. We're not supposed to pay attention to the truth of what we see empirically. We are supposed to ignore it so we can conform to the dictates of diversity, equity, inclusion, and this insane intersectional neo-Marxism that these people are inflicting on us like the plague.
Yeah. You notice too, Sarge,
it's funny that these trans women, I call them women pretenders, they always want to join with the girl sports, but you don't have any of these trans men wanting to join up with the men sports.
No.
That's kind of funny.
Like I said, disregard the evidence of your eyes, of history, of civilization, not forget civilization, pre-civilization, before there was ever a civilization. Every human society understood the physical power, strength, advantage men have over women. It is indisputable.
Right.
And then it will, some women, oh, shut up. Yeah, some women, okay. Yeah, Mike Tyson was 15 years old. He was knocking out men. He was an exception, okay?
Yeah.
An exception.
Yeah.
There are exceptions to every rule. We know the truth. We know what it is. And we know, I'm going to say this again, is an absolute categorical truth. In any sport involving speed and or strength and or power, a woman will never, ever be the champion unless
she's got
an unfair handicap over the man competing with her. Never.
Exactly.
And we want to pretend that there's a difference. And it's simply, look, we've got to do one of either two things. And, Mr. Lucian and I will go around, Mr. Lucian, well, me and him were going around for a long time about this. And, you know, I couldn't quite get there with him. But now I see the logic of everything he's been saying. And I reluctantly have come to agree with what he says. We either are going to have to go back to what was proper, which is the most proper solution, a clear delineation being men's and women's sports so women can compete and aspire to be a champion in their sport. Or we just let everybody compete regardless of sex and just let the chips fall.
Yeah,
but this stuff
exactly.
we're doing now, we're trying to sign on a case-by-case. Well, has this guy been on hormones long enough? Hell, that doesn't change his morphology. It doesn't change his skeletal structure. It doesn't change the advantage his very bone structure has with regard to leverage. Men's skeletons have more leverage advantage in transferring strength to or by use of the muscles. You can't take that away with puberty blockers. Or
maybe
puberty blockers you can. But after a person has gone through puberty, it cannot be removed. You cannot change bones unless you have surgery.
Exactly.
Can't make up the thickness. You can't alter that. Men's bones are thicker. That's why a punch to a woman in the head and the skull is potentially more damaging than it is to a man because men's skulls are thicker. Then, men suffer significant brain injuries in boxing. But for a woman that gets hit with a man's power, not another woman's power, but a man's power, it can kill her readily.
Yeah.
I got an idea. Why come these males that goes out for the NBA – they don't make it. Why don't they just go over to the WNBA?
Sounds reasonable.
They won't get as much money. That's why.
And I mean, some is better than none, right?
Yeah.
Well, but, the pay is a whole lot different. That's why the NBA has got to subsidize the WNBA.
That's all right.
They don't make no money
If they can't make the Lakers.
That's why Griner was over there in Ruski. That's why she was going there with the Ruskies trying to make some money.
If they can't make the Lakers or if they can't make one of these other things, the Warriors, go on over there and play with the WNBA and say that you're a female.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, really. And I wanted to ask you all a question, too. What do you all have to say about the feminists being silent in all of this? Because it would seem to me that a transgender, a woman pretender, it's trying to take the place of an actual woman, and the women are being pushed to the fringes of the female circle, and it's like, shouldn't they be the ones who are the loudest against this transgenderism?
No, because so many have been co-opted by the neo-Marxist progressives. They are in a trap of their own making. By going along unblinkingly with the dictates and the imperatives of diversity, equity, inclusion, neo-Marxist progressivism, they're in a trap. They can't do this without undermining the entire structure on which it is built. That's why they don't say anything. It's like they don't say anything when Bill Clinton got caught up in his sex scandal. All of a sudden, power differentiation no longer mattered. Oh, he's the president of the United States. He's got a power imbalance over her. She's just an intern. No, they didn't say anything about it. He's good on abortions. Let's let him go. Hypocrisy doesn't even begin to describe what these people are.
Yeah,
when they get
exactly.
caught in these ideological traps, what they believe on is not based in objective, transcendent truth. So whenever you ask these questions as to why these people aren't saying anything about this, you've got to realize what their belief system is based on. Is it based on subjective, not objective principles, and intersectionalism, meaning a hierarchy of victimization and a hierarchy of oppressor and oppressors and oppressed, is everything to what they try to espouse. Everything. It's like a house of cards they built. You pull away any one of the cards, the whole damn thing comes crashing down. They can't acknowledge these truths that we talk about all the time. They simply cannot without undermining their entire agenda.
That's true, though. That is true because in all of this, what you're seeing today, the common thread that runs through all of this transgenderism and CRT and all this other stuff, the common thread that runs through all of it is Marxism. I mean, I'm not going to go into detail about how that is because really right now I can't, go into the details and the intricacies and everything and stuff like that. But that is the common thread through all of this. That was the common thread back in the 60s when they had the student protests and the Black Panthers and all that. This is a common thread, is that thread of Marxism. And a lot of people, they are wallowing in the mud, but they don't even realize it because someone has told them, oh, you're not wallowing through the mud. It's just water. Just keep walking through the water. But you don't realize that you're really walking through the mud.
Man, I'm telling you, man, I don't think there's ever been anything more insidious in American life, ever. I think in many respects what is going on today is even worse than the debates that they were had over slavery before the war between the states. Because slavery has been a constant throughout human civilizations and history. It predated civilization. Every group of people in the history of the world practiced slavery of some type or other. Always.
Yeah.
Always. So slavery is not like something new to human nature or human existence. What we're looking at now is literally a rejection of human nature itself. And
that's so
really insidious about it, because they cloak it in good intentions, at least in the West they do. In the places where Marxism and communists take absolute power, there's no need to cloak it in good intentions. The state says this is what you will do, and you will do it. You will suffer the consequences. The authoritarianism is naked. It's an iron fist. There's no velvet glove around it. In the United States, they put the iron fist in a very heavy velvet glove to make you not realizing that if you push hard enough on the velvet glove on the outside, you're going to see the authoritarian fist of the fascist underneath it. They don't want you to see it. So they wrap it up with therapeutic language. They put a lot of soft-looking, stupid women, like that idiot numbskull at Stanford, that diversity, equity, and inclusion administrator, talking about you hurting our students, the passive-aggressive nature of their speech, which is meant to lull you to sleep. I mean, it's really insidious. It really is.
I mean, really. And you got people like AOC, calling parents fascists and what's her name? Sheila Jackson Lee with that bird nest on top of her head. She over there talking about, we still living in slavery and all that. And people actually give these people an ear without realizing how stupid these people actually sound. I mean,
she enables slavery on the southern border of the United States by her acquiescence and or her silence to Joe Biden's policies.
Yeah.
These people are the worst people I've ever seen governing the United States, ever.
Yeah. So, we got a few more minutes before the end of the show and everything. Oh, my goodness.
I'm going to tell you something else that's here you got this Silicon Valley Bank that was only giving out loans to companies that was engaged in quote unquote green projects.
Yeah. And see what happened to them.
Yeah. And now you got the Federal Reserve, Janet Yellen, saying even though people did not have the $250,000, well, who should I say, actually deposit was more than $250,000, which that was the cutoff for the insurance, they will be protected too. Well, here's the point. The bank will be protected. If this bank was engaged in that sort of discrimination, they should not be available for any federal program because the federal government specifically tells you that you can't discriminate. Isn't that not what they do in public schools?
But that's right.
You got to have a bathroom for trannies. If you are receiving federal dollars through the Department of Education, you cannot discriminate.
Yeah.
So how is it that you're going to discriminate and insure these companies and provide money to the bank to cover the lost money of their clients, and this bank is practicing discrimination?
That's right. Well, to them, discrimination is a door that just swings one way. You know, it doesn't swing both ways to them. You know, it just swings one way, and that's why they, you know, they can talk about discrimination, but they don't look at themselves and say, well, how are we discriminating? You know, it don't matter, you know.
Vince, you can sum it up by just saying this. It ain't discrimination when we do it. It ain't.
Because
we have good intentions when we discriminate.
Yeah, yeah. So, but, guys, I'm going to put a stop right there. I know I got a few more minutes. I got to make some announcements. I have decided every first of the month I will not be having a show. So if you come on the first Saturday of every month and I don't have a show, I'm taking that time to, you know, spend more time with my wife and everything. But, you know, all the other Saturdays I will be having a show. And just to announce that on May the 20th, I won't be having a show then because my wife and I were going out of town. That's a little less than 2 months from now, but just want to let people, just want to make that announcement to everybody that I won't be having a show then, and the first Saturday of every month I won't be having a show. So just want to let everybody know that, you know, so nobody will be caught off guard or anything like that. And, you know, God willing, in 2 weeks I should have another program. Hopefully my computer won't go off like it did this time. I don't know what happened to it. I'm you know what, I'll probably just hook up my laptop and go from there. You know, I probably just need a new desktop computer. But anyway, guys, I am going to cut the show off right now. I'm going to cut it off, and you guys take care of yourselves.